When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Wake up!
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
And now Sunday, the Packers come to town. This is Packer week.
Packers suck!
And if you think the Bears went to work on Monday, the staff, the coaches, they reported to House Hall without knowing who was doing what against the Packers, I'm not buying it.
Green Bay Packers. Too much cheese for me. I'm lactose and intolerant. I'll pass.
They know what they're doing. They just haven't announced it yet.
They know what they're doing. I'm not buying it.
Okay, you know what I mean by saying that.
I'm just taking you
literally. I'm not like, oh, they know what they're doing. No, they know what their duties are. They are trying to perform them.
Oh, they have performed a lot of duty, my friend.
We'll find out Sunday if they know what they're doing.
Some of you Packer fans are classy, but for some of you obnoxious scumbags, I got one thing.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
How much of a disaster would it be if Jordan Love opens his account with a victory?
No, I'm just saying, there's that danger too. I'm not going to listen to that right now.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We've made it. We're halfway through the bloody month of November, Mr. David.
We also made it to Friday, Mully. Happy Friday. Yes, and Packer Week has gone.
Bears.
And it's been loud. Keeps getting louder. Thank you, Xavier McKinney. And Sunday, the Bears can quiet the noise a little bit, or they can make it a little bit more interesting.
It'd be great if they could do that. I just don't know if they can do that.
Yeah, I don't think they can do that. I don't think it's been a good problem. Week of preparation. You got one press conference that was pretty lively. Thomas Brown won the press conference on Wednesday. Don't know how preparation has gone, but I would think that this is a team that is prone to distraction, and we may see that on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, that is the fear. And it's a big day today at the Score because everybody's heading up to the Brat Stop. Make sure you go. It's in Kenosha. The Brat Bowl is going on. You'll have all sorts of live broadcasts starting at 10 o'clock with Dan Bernstein and Layla Rahimi, and then Lawrence and Matt will be there from 2 to 6, and everyone's getting ready for the for Packers Week.
Worth
the
trip.
For the big game. No question about it.
Whether you're going through Chicago or you're coming down from Milwaukee, whatever the case is, meet in the middle, have a brat, have a beer, enjoy the atmosphere. Talk some football.
Maybe give a gently worn coat to someone.
Yes, that's a good cause as well. Yeah, I think Packers will probably be in a more Packers fans will be in a more festive mood and talkative mood if they want to talk about their team. The Packers still have realistic playoff hope. The Bears have manufactured playoff hope.
They have unrealistic playoff.
Unrealistic, extremely unrealistic at this stage. Now there are some people that are trying to maybe see reasons for optimism on Sunday for the Bears because they feel like it can't get any worse. Every time George McCaskey says, hold my beer, because I think that it can. Distraction, dysfunction, there's a lot of stuff that exists why you don't believe in the Bears right now. And I'm a little surprised it's gotten off the rails this quickly, frankly. But this has been a difficult week and a difficult stretch for them. And I don't think it gets any better on Sunday.
No, we'll get to it. But, I kind of liked the line earlier in the week. But now that the line is shrinking, I'm having a little bit of hesitation.
You could convince yourself that this is a good week for the Bears. And it's a good spot on the schedule.
I think I was doing that to myself earlier in the week.
Yeah, and I think that even today, when you look at the injury report and you see guys coming back and practicing and
very important, the injury report.
Full health.
I'm
not disputing its importance. No. I think that you could look at this as a good spot for the Bears. But that underestimates to me, this Packer team had a week off and they're pretty good.
They're coming off a bye week and they're going to be very rested up and that's all good stuff. There's there's a couple games, a couple things going on tonight of interest. You see the NBA Cup, and the Bulls bound to hand the first loss of the year to Cleveland. Looking forward to that.
You calling that?
I think I called it last time.
Okay. You're calling.
I'm going to call it every time until
Bulls upset of Cavs tonight. In Cleveland.
I think I consistently have felt that way.
What do you mean at this time?
Oh, no. I mean, I wouldn't take it to the bank. I wouldn't run to the bookie. Yeah, why not? Let's have some
Bulls
fun.
Are playing pretty well,
yeah,
and they're coming off a big victory in New York.
Big win.
They've won a couple on the road. It's nice to see.
Cleveland is rotting on the vine. They're so overdue. They can't keep it up.
Well, they're going to lose eventually. Why not lose tonight?
There you go.
Because the Bulls may not have Lonzo Ball back just yet, but he's on the way. He's on the mend. That's encouraging. Zach LaVine's playing at a pretty high level, trying to play his share of defense, and he's also filling it up. So he's trending in the right direction. It's a fun team to watch.
If I hear what you're saying, Cavs basketball, tonight's the night.
Tonight we're gonna take no prisoners.
Yeah! Rock and roll, David! That's why the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame is a kill it. We're not going to put this in people's heads.
It's going to be another musical?
No.
Okay.
The score of the musical's over. Yeah. I just love that song, and I love the idea that Cavs basket, that you said Cavs basketball, and tonight's the night.
The NBA Cup, though, is something that they're wearing different uniforms tonight. The City Connect jerseys, correct? And I think the Bulls have a very clean uniform. Very nice looking, sharp, stylish.
Even if they
simple.
Lose, they'll look better.
Yeah. They always do a nice job with those uniforms.
Cleveland's one. They show the river on fire, and apparently it actually burns into the players' chest because they use chemicals from the river.
Is that why they're so quick?
To dye the.
They do a lot of trapping. they're all over the place defensively. Man. No wonder their feet move so fast.
That's it. That's what's going on.
That's the secret.
There's their secret.
So you got the Bulls Friday night. Hawks lose last night late to the Kraken. They've got game on Saturday in Vancouver. Connor Bedard goes home. He's got to get going. He's got 3 goals in 17 games now. He had 9 and 16 last year.
He's falling behind Connor McDavid, I'll tell you that.
Yes, Connor McDavid gets his 1,000th last night. Nice little segue there. You're paying attention to the hockey. So you got hockey tonight or tomorrow night. Yeah, the Bulls tonight. And I think that yesterday, how much attention are we going to pay this Xavier McKinney, DJ Moore spat or public kerfuffle? What do you think of it?
You know, it's a thing. It's a fun little thing before the game. Do I think it's going to be determinant? I just wish that there was a way for them to, kind of throw a couple downfield and test the guy. I mean, the problem is what is DJ going to do? Have 3 bubble screens thrown to him and maybe gain 36 yards. That'll show Xavier McKinney.
Ooh, the jet sweep. Looms.
I mean, it's just not. Yeah. It's just.
It's not mano-a-mano because a free safety is sitting back there waiting for the next mistake to happen.
Exactly.
If you were a cornerback going one-on-one with the wide receiver, now that would be some good theater. I don't know what this will manifest itself or how it will.
I'm not worried about it. DJ doesn't seem too worried about it. He's just going to play his game. The problem is I don't feel like, okay, get the ball to DJ. Here you go. I don't feel that way because they have enough problems getting the ball to anyone.
They absolutely do. But in a nutshell, to whiteboard it for people.
Yes.
DJ Moore last summer.
Yes.
Was on the Kay Adams, Up in Adams show.
Yes.
And he said something to the effect of,
She asked him about all the new corners coming into the division, and his response was who, and then she mentioned him, and he said something along the lines of, well, that's nice, they got like he for some reason, and I got to be honest with you, the overreaction from Xavier McKinney makes me wonder. What's going on with him? Does he
seems like he's feeling his oats a little bit, and he's got six,
he feels disrespected. Yeah, but people don't love him enough
because he has proven that he was worth more than just a shrug. He's got six interceptions. He leads the league in interceptions.
The question wasn't about him. It was about multiple players coming into the division.
But I think that he was asked directly about DJ Moore or Xavier McKinney, and he says, yeah, he's nice.
Right. And he said he's a nice player. But I don't think he was trying to hurt his feelings. I just don't think it registered to him the way maybe McKinney thinks.
Pro athletes find edges wherever they can.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
And slights are there, real or imagined. They're used for motivation. Xavier McKinney did that. Then he doubled down this week by talking about DJ Moore running off the field in the way that everyone saw at Arizona.
You even get a little juice, or
I do. And I do, like, obviously you got the rivalry itself, but then, like, you know, I've seen, you know, there's a clip somewhere out there where DJ Moore said something about, like, they were asking him about, you know, the Packers getting me, and he was kind of like, who? And so, like, you know, all that stuff kind of, you know, that's in my memory bank, and, you know, I work accordingly to that. Like, I watch, like, every Sunday, Monday, Thursday, like, I'm watching the games. So, like, I got Sunday ticket, so I sit, you know, in my game room. I got a TV above my monitor, and I watch every game. And so I'm just paying attention to, like, you know, formations, little things, how people are playing when they're up, how people are playing when they're down, you know, what players are doing. And he's another one of those guys, same guy, play still going on, you walk off the field on your offense. So, you know, you got guys like, you take note of that. So, you know, everybody takes note of that, and we see it. And like I said, we're going to work it accordingly to that. Yeah. Just kind of, you know how people get before the season. They don't really know what's going to happen during the season. You start talking too much, and you don't really know what you're talking about. You're just talking. So, yeah.
You think he knows who 29 is now?
I hope so. But I don't give a damn what he know. Like, this dude walked out on him. Like, I've been playing football for 5 years now, and I've been watching football for longer than that. And I don't think I've ever seen a, like, you supposed to be the guy, and you walking, you know, you just walking off the field, and then you walking off the field on a rookie quarterback that you've been praising. This, like, so it's like, you know, it's a whole nother story.
So he obviously was bugged by watching DJ Moore run off the field. And bugged by what was said or wasn't said over the summer.
I don't think he was bugged by watching him walk off the field. I think
Didn't he just say that?
No, I'm just telling you. I don't believe that he was watching the game on the Sunday ticket. I haven't looked at the Packers schedule, but I think he saw a clip of that and he saw the kerfuffle about it. And then he was like, well, there's another example of why that guy's an idiot. I think he has a problem because he feels disrespected, whether he should or not. It's a typical kind of weird NFL thing. You know, I remember doing a story about, what was the guy's name? Flanagan was the center for Detroit back in the day. And George Halas went up to him before a game, went up to butt kiss before a game. Flanagan said that about me. Ed Flanagan was the guy's name. If he said that about me, I'd never... So Butkus went out to kill the guy without even knowing what was said and without even knowing the context of it. It sounds as if someone told him that, on Kay Adams, he said who when he was asked about you. And now he's got a problem with the guy. And then he saw his name again in the media. Oh, he walked off the field on his rookie quarterback. And it's just something for him to complain about. Here's a guy that's looking for a star turn, looking to get the attention of the fine people of Chicago because the Packers have dominated this
good,
rivalry.
Man.
I'm not saying he's not good. I'm saying this is invented in his own mind.
I'm sure.
I don't think DJ was talking trash about Xavier McKinney.
Right.
Do you?
No, I think he was dismissive of it. But
yeah, but somehow he wounded him. He hurt his feelings. And I mean, I mean, God bless Xavier McKinney. If he find guys do that, you find reasons to dislike someone and then you dislike them. But you know, DJ, is he worthy of that kind of response?
I know he's been in the middle of a lot of things I didn't expect him to be in the middle of this year.
I agree.
So I think we do know him, but I have been surprised at how much he has been involved in
controversy. The way people are reading him. Yeah. It's like a poker game watching the guy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, so I don't know. It won't be a factor. Xavier McKinney, that doesn't probably even register on the top five quotes of the week, the way things are going at Halas Hall. So it probably will be nothing.
But what can he do about it? Take a shot at him? That'd be great. But, you know, here's the problem. Let's say he just took a shot at, you know, went out and tried to lay out DJ Moore. Who's going to do anything about it? What are the Bears going to do about it? Who on the Bears is going to stand up and make a play or do something? This is the problem, David. The problem is that you're when you're creating a rivalry story and there's no rivalry where they have come in and beat you 10 times in a row, it's difficult to – what is the statistic? There isn't a player on the roster that's beaten the Packers?
I think it was that there's no player on the Bears that has beaten the Packers as a member of the Bears. So it's been since 2019 since they've beaten them, period. And that this is a team that's been put together, kind of remade on the fly, seems like. But there haven't been players here with any tenure. So, and I think the long snapper's not back yet, so he would be the guy that would qualify. But there's not been anybody on the Bears who has beaten the Packers in a Bear uniform, which is kind of embarrassing for the Bears.
It's five
straight years for Matt LaFleur, and he's 10-0. And the rivalry isn't much of one. And you say the same thing every time they seem to play. Until that changes, you know, that then this is going to be the same kind of conversation. And frankly, the Packers players in that locker room can say whatever they want about the Bears because the Bears haven't answered that. They haven't responded really in a way that matters. And the only way that matters is if they win on Sunday. And then things will change. I mean, you have an opportunity to quiet the noise. I don't think you have an opportunity to change your season. That, I think, we'll talk about it, but I'm not sure that window's still open.
You know, the other element here that I think is interesting is, again, I thought that Montez Sweat, when he said he was sick of losing to Green Bay, I thought, wow, that's something. You can pull that out when you get to that game and you can use that as sort of a rallying point. But now he's down, right? I mean, he's hurt. He's got an ankle. He will play, I would imagine, but he's not at full strength. I just don't know who on the Bears is going to take over this game. Do you know what I mean? Like, who on the Bears is capable of answering anybody that wants to talk smack to
them? DJ Moore's capable of it if he can get the ball, if they can find him. He's a guy that – he's your number one wide receiver, and guys like that are the kind of guys who can take over games. We've seen it before. We're just not – we just can't remember what that looks like because he's off to such a slow start. The first half of the season, the downfield passing game has been MIA. So, but he would be the kind of guy.
But I mean, then that means Caleb's got to get the ball to him. They got to find him in space. They got. I'm just saying, I'm all for it, David. But I'm struggling a little.
Jalen Johnson could dominate a game with a couple interceptions if Jordan Love will throw him the ball. Jordan Love's got 10 picks and 240 attempts.
Yep.
That means, you know, he's susceptible to a turnover. So the Bears have players who can be dominant in stretches. And I think that's the problem, though, that they haven't been able to put it all together. And they haven't been able to do that offensively because their offensive line has not protected the quarterback and they've not controlled the line of scrimmage. Until they do that, none of this other stuff really makes any sense to count on, because that's the biggest problem with the Bears right now. Of all the other things, they're not able to control the line of scrimmage offensively.
Yeah. And I think that if Montez Sweat were at full power, and you mentioned a couple times this week the Khalil Mack game, just the way that he dominated in the first half, I think they ended up losing that game.
They did, because they came back and Rodgers came back at halftime and they rallied. And that was an exciting game because it was like Khalil Mack is here, and boy, they look like a defense that can do something, to the point where – I don't want to say that obscured the fact that they actually lost that game, but he was so dominant, that's what you remember most about that game.
Yeah, yeah. But they need that sort of performance from someone.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. I think DJ is capable of it, but he can't throw the ball to himself.
That's true.
Part of the problem. And I'm not picking on Caleb there. I'm just saying there are more, you know, they got to protect them. They got to figure out how they get the ball out. They got to... You know, I've about had it watching DJ Moore catch the ball or be handed the ball at the line of scrimmage.
Yeah, that's pretty redundant. And also, I think that it was interesting to hear from the Bears wide receiver coach, Chris Beattie, yesterday, talking about how he's tired of seeing the body language from his wide receivers and told them to cool it,
right,
essentially, which is, I think, that's what a good position coach should do. And regardless of your status in the league or on this team, if Keenan Allen or DJ Moore, if their antics, if their facial expressions, if their reactions are causing some sort of stress for a young quarterback or letting it known that they're frustrated with him or about the passing game, then they should be called out like that. That was good. That was good by him. You know, 847 asked an interesting question, Molly. Says, if DJ Moore was not a guest on your show, would you guys be more critical of what he has been, what he's been doing this year? And if DJ wasn't a weekly guest on your show, would you be more vocal about his crappy attitude all year?
Maybe.
Possibly. I don't think we would know him as well and maybe give him the benefit of the doubt to the extent that we have, I think, in fairness. But I also don't think we've shied away from necessarily addressing it, certainly not with him.
Right.
And that's almost, to me, again, this might be sound self-serving, but to me, it's better to address it with him to provide some sort of context. So in that context, I think he's had some reasonable explanations. He's not always been right, or he's not always been in the right, but I don't think we've shied away from addressing it because he's a guest.
No, I think we've kind of taken that on.
It's a good question, though.
Yeah, it's fair, and it's one we ask ourselves. I like the guy. I genuinely like the guy because I think he's a family guy. He's up early. God knows you hear the kids with him in the morning. And he also, unlike some other players we've dealt with, he's always there. He's like incredible. When you're dealing with morning radio, it's hard to get people who are consistent.
No doubt about it. And I think yesterday he showed up in the locker room, open locker room portion of the day, to address the Xavier McKinney comments on a day that he did not and was not
spoken the
scheduled
day
to talk.
Right.
But he was maybe concerned about his reputation. Maybe it was just being a professional, but good for DJ Moore to at least not hide and ignore that kind of stuff because it could take on a life of its own.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
So good for him.
But I mean, this is the problem. As we sit here and we talk about the various elements and the sort of the sideshow element of everything about this, the question remains and the question is underscored, which is, what are they going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
What exactly are the Bears going to do about it come Sunday?
Well, they can only control their attitude and their effort, but that's a good start. They've got to have a better attitude. By that, I mean intensity. You come out and you're not flat and you don't look like you're working. You look like you're playing and having the time of your lives. And then your effort, that's got to be as obvious as your attitude. So they're intertwined, they're connected, and there should be no question about the Bears should be the team that has the most to prove on Sunday. It's a rivalry game. They are the little brother in this sibling rivalry, and they need to punch back. They need to fight back, and you need to see some sort of response. If you don't, they're done. They're done. If they can't control their attitude and effort better than they have, then there's no then the rest of the season is just going to be one long slog toward a coaching search.
Boy, we have so much season left for that to happen.
I know, but
and you're right. I totally agree with you. This is the must make statement game, right? I don't know about must wins or anything like that. But you better see something from
you,
this group.
You have a lot to gain in the standings. You have a lot to gain in your record, and you have a lot to gain for things that are measured. But you know what? This is also, your pride is being challenged.
You got a lot to stop. You got a lot of noise that you got to stop. And you have control only of that, of how you play and what you do to try to make it stop. Please, God, make it stop. We've got the pick six next. Mullion Hall on the score.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Hall. where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Do you consider Sunday's game the most important of the Bears' season? Is it a turning point, or has that already happened? Do you believe they will get a new OC bump under Thomas Brown? What will the run-pass ratio for the offense, and will we be praising Caleb Williams on Monday or lamenting his continued struggle? Does Matt Eberflus need to get his defense humming again, and can he get it humming again?
Yeah, these are all legitimate and good points, and that's what makes it such an important game for the Bears. This is the Bears' most important game of the season because it's their next game of the season. Because at some point, the most important game of the season can't be a failed Mary. It can't be the terrible defense that you had and the last-second loss that you had in Washington. Right now, that is the defining moment of the season because the Bears have not overcome it. So as this grows, so will the pressure to move beyond that point. It's extraordinary that they followed that up, not just with the loss in Arizona, but really coming home and getting beaten by New England. And I think the reason, part of the reason they lost the New England game is that they were so beaten up they couldn't compete. They did not figure out a way to protect their quarterback. The guy got run over, steamrolled, 9 sacks. You can't have that sort of thing happen. Now, maybe the tackles come back. Maybe they're more competitive this week. This is the most important game because it's the one that matters most to ownership. And guess what? They've lost 10 in a row to this team. This is becoming farcical. So they have to at some point make a stand. The problem you have is, who's going to make that stand? Who's the player that's ready to put on a Superman performance and drag you over the finish line against these guys? It's a really tough question. I think all the other stuff is superfluous next to the overriding point of needing one guy to kind of lead this team. If the quarterback's going to have a big game, this would be the one to have if you can pull it off. And I don't know where they're at and if they can pull it off. And, man, are they a mess. So, you know, you look at their playoff chances, all that stuff. You have to win this game, period, end of story. Or we're not going to be talking about many more important games.
You mentioned it in your answer, Mully, and I've heard it a lot this week. And as a Bears fan and as a hater of the Packers, I have to say, really? So the McCaskies care more about these Packer games than the other games. Okay, great. So do I. What are you doing about it?
Right.
So is that why the offensive coordinator got fired? Is it instead of one of the reports, and there's been lots of reports this weekend, and you know there's a battle over who's reporting right and who's not reporting right. But is the reason that the OC was showing the door because it's Packers week? Because maybe if it was Vikings or Lions week, the OC would have been moved upstairs and called the plays from up there instead of calling the plays from the sideline. Or the OC would have been stripped of his play-calling duties. He'd still be the OC. He'd be moved upstairs, and he'd help with communication with a new play caller. Who knows? But good. I'm glad this one matters to the McCaskies. So what are you doing? The mantra up at Hallis Hall should be, what have you done today to beat the Packers? What are you doing today to beat the Packers? That should be the first thing the players should see at Hallis Hall. And if that sign existed, I'm sure we would know it existed. I'm sure Hard Knocks would have showed us that this sign existed. I believe they're going to get a bounce from this OC, but I don't think it's enough to beat the Packers, and we'll get to that in a little bit.
No matter what Fox will tell you on the telecast with Tom Brady in the booth and their number one game of the afternoon, this is not the most important game of the Bears season, because they haven't earned the right to call it that. They lost that right in Landover, Maryland, and the Fail Mary, and then they lost that right when they went to Arizona and couldn't beat the Cardinals, and then last week when they lost at home to the worst team in the NFL. This is not the most important game of the season. This is just another one now. You've got to stop the losing streak against a rival. This is a chance to do that. But this is it's manufactured meaning, because the Bears' season has been lost. unfortunately, it's the way it works in the NFL. The window is open. You have to take advantage. And if you don't, you have to pay the price. They'll get an offensive coordinator bump from Thomas Brown because they'll play with a little bit more attention to detail. They'll probably have a 55-45 pass-to-run ratio, maybe 35 passes, 25 runs. They will look more competent. They'll probably protect the quarterback more responsibly. Caleb Williams will even look more efficient, but I don't know that it will be enough. The defense will play fine, but struggle with explosive plays and stopping Josh Jacobs. This defense without Jaquan Brisker and Andrew Billings no longer is the best defense in the NFC North. The best defense in the NFC North will be wearing yellow helmets on Sunday. It is the Green Bay Packers. These are tough realities to accept, but this is what you get when you play the way the Bears have the last 3 weeks. Season's done.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
That's DJ Moore. Did Packer safety Xavier McKinney cross a line by calling out DJ Moore?
You think he knows who 29 is now?
I hope so. But I don't give a damn what he know. Like, this dude walked out on him. Like, I'd have been playing football for 5 years now, and I've been watching football for longer than that. And I don't think I've ever seen a, like, you supposed to be the guy, and you walking, you know, you just walking off the field, and then you walking off the field on a rookie quarterback that you've been praising. This, like, so it's like, you know, it's a whole nother story.
Will any of this have an effect on Sunday's game?
No, I don't think it will. I think it's hilarious that somebody would be that offended by something that innocuous, but this is the world we live in, and social media and perceived slights and what athletes do to motivate themselves. They'll find something. This is definitely that you had to look for to find. When he said it back in June, I don't know that anybody other than maybe Xavier McKinney and his family felt like DJ Moore, when asked about the cornerbacks the Detroit Lions added and the Xavier McKinney, the safety the Packers added, how he felt. And he just was very pleasant in his response, the way he typically responds to things. This was what long before we were reading DJ Moore's body language or taking that tutorial course in Chicago this fall. I don't think it's going to have any impact. It has been fun. It's a little funny. It's kind of worth a chuckle. But as I said earlier, in this week of dysfunction that has been spilling out of Hallis Hall and over the last couple, this doesn't even rank as a top 10 quote to look at, even though it has been amusing.
Oh, I hate to disagree, but I'm going to disagree. This will have an impact on Sunday. That's now a matchup. It's something else to keep your eye on. You're going to want to see when they're in a run situation, which we're all in agreement upon that we'd like to see the Bears run the ball at least 60% of the time. Yeah, how is that going? How are those two going to battle, you know, mano a mano in the run game? That interests me. You know, who's going to grab the other guy's face mask first? Because I believe one of them
the
will be
the dumbest one.
Right.
I mean, really.
Right.
That's a penalty, Dustin.
Right. But one of them is going to be moved to the point to grab a face mask. So this is going to have an impact on Sunday's contest.
Okay. Can we play it? Can we just play what he said that has got all of Xavier McKinney's panties in a bunch? Let's take a listen to this, because it's shocking to me that this harmless moment is what has fired this guy up.
The NFC North, what I noticed, they really beefed up their secondary. Have you noticed that?
Who?
The Lions, they took two corners back-to-back. Xavier McKinney's in Green Bay now.
That's nice.
Yeah? How do you feel?
I don't feel no way about it. It's just, just there.
Okay, really? That's the reason that there's been World War III declared?
We heard that. How do you feel? What kind of...
That would tick you too off, I would hope. If that was me, if I had played in a big enough game that somebody wanted to know about the addition of me to this rivalry, and he said that, you better believe I'd be playing that on a loop.
You're as wacky as he is.
So you think Xavier McKinney has right to feel slighted?
Absolutely.
Okay.
That's why his, as Molly put it, his panties are in a bunch. You know what? That just motivated him as well, if he's listening. Okay?
Oh, that's...
A talk show host in Chicago said my underwear is up my backside.
That might be in the New York Post.
That's not...
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, radio producer throws gasoline on the fire.
His drawers were in the drawer. What do you?
This talk? Is devolving quickly.
Yeah, I watch my mouth.
Jeez. I'm just
potty mouth, Mully.
Yeah, how did that happen?
I don't. You said it. I just repeated what you. That would motivate me.
It's
absolutely.
An expression.
I know.
It's
I'm
an
motivated
expression.
Right now. I want to be heard.
Right. Let's drive to the Brat Bowl.
Let's go.
Now.
Let's go put a hat on someone.
Where's my helmet?
No disrespect to your question.
What did you make of quarterback coach Kerry Joseph saying on Thursday that the team is encouraging faster decisions from Caleb Williams in the passing game? They want the ball out to the first open receiver and for the quarterback not to wait through all the progressions. When we do that, those plays become unsackable because the ball is out of the hands. That is the quote from quarterback coach Kerry Joseph. How many times do you expect Williams to be sacked on Sunday, and what is your over-under?
Oh, man. I mean, that is dark. I think the over-under, if I were setting it, would be 4. I think that you want to keep him under 4. I think he gets sacked. I think he holds the ball a lot. I think that he's afraid of throwing it away or afraid of maybe throwing a pick. I don't know. But I like the idea of getting the ball out quickly. But I don't see the Bears... I think they'll be able to protect him better than they did last week, and I think they will, you know, emphasize that. But if I were setting it, the over-under would be set at 4, and I would figure that there's going to be 3 sacks of Caleb Williams in that game.
I think that's a really good number, Molly. I'm just going to adjust it slightly because I hate a push. I'm going to say 3.5 if I was setting the number so that we could have a winner and a loser. And I'm going to actually, and I never bet unders, I'm going to bet under. Because I think if Caleb Williams is going to do what his opening, the first question he took the other day when he got to the podium was, my job is just to listen. So you just heard it. You just heard it from your coach. He just told you to get rid of the ball. Don't go through all the progressions. Get the ball to the first receiver. That's what the coach just said. So if you're listening and that's your job, then this number should be under 3.5.
I think when we talk about the offensive coordinator bounce or the Thomas Brown effect, what we're going to see is what Kerry Joseph alluded to. You're going to see a more attention to detail by Caleb Williams to take the first read and execute. And don't think as much as you are reacting. See man open, throw man open. Or is it throw the ball? You know, see ball, hit ball in baseball. Right. What you want Caleb Williams to do is return to those instincts, because I think he's been resisting that. He's been a little too tentative, and he's been doing things that I think have led to these high sack totals. He's also been doing things that maybe increase his tentativeness and in accuracy. So what you want him to do is to get into a rhythm. When you get into a rhythm, you increase your confidence, and he's been lacking that. So what Kerry Joseph said yesterday, I think, was one of the more interesting things you heard at the podium, because it does make him unsackable when you get the ball out of your hands. Ask Tom Brady, the guy in the booth, is going to be calling Sunday's game, the importance of that. And I think if Tom Brady focuses on anything on Sunday that is noticeable, I hope that it is, for the Bears' sake and Caleb Williams' sake, that it's just what we're discussing. He's unsackable because he's seeing the throws. They're scheming guys open, and they're getting rid of the football. Boom, gain of 7. Boom, gain of 9. Move the chains. Keep yourself out of 3rd and long. That's an important thing they need to do. And if they make any sort of impact on this game, if you're Thomas Brown, if you're Kerry Joseph, Caleb Williams, that's where it's going to be. Sack total, I say 4.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick 6 or something like that.
Voice of Brad Biggs, 7 o'clock is Biggs time. How surprised were you that the Bears placed Jaquan Brisker on the injured reserve? And why didn't they do it weeks ago? Have we seen the last of Brisker this year?
There's a lot of football left to be played. And I think when you cover the league as long as we have, you have to remember these examples where even with guys who you thought should be written off to the next season and... you know, whether it's after a surgery or a break or a sprain, there's importance and value from NFL teams and players in getting guys back on the field so you compartmentalize injuries or,
right,
in this case, a concussion. I know that sounds kind of cold because it's a concussion. It's a brain injury. We can't relate to that, and it's much more serious than a pulled hamstring or a twisted knee. But I do think there's a chance that Jaquan Brisker will return because of that mentality, because of what football means to him. I also know, Molly, that there was a movement this week, and maybe that's too strong, but there was some hope that Jaquan Brisker was going to play on Sunday, and it was starting to trend in that direction. This move yesterday caught some people off guard, and I think that when you look at why they did it now, I do wonder why they did it now, because the way they did it makes you wonder legitimately why they waited, and they wasted a roster spot for how many weeks? This is on Ryan Poles. You were short a man in your secondary because you failed to act in a way that you did yesterday. Don't want to be critical and pile on all week. It's been a tough week to be Ryan Poles, but you could have handled this situation better. Doesn't mean you're not going to see Jaquan Brisker again, but I think it's going to be a while. It may bring him back regardless, just to kind of see where he is, if he can recover. You wish him well, no matter the case.
I'm not surprised, disappointed. I've talked about this injury when it happened, and I thought that this was going to be a major problem for this defense. And unfortunately, for once, maybe, I was right. This is a big deal to this defense. And I don't think we see him again. Now that they have finally done this, I think they all hoped that he could come back. And now they are telling you that he can't come back. And where has he been? I mean, is it so bad that he's not up there? Is he not at Halas Hall? And now that he has been placed on IR, do you think even as soon as today, will he be made available to the public? I mean, Tua spoke to the public. It's David shrugging his shoulders. If you're watching, because he's a safety, he doesn't get the podium.
No, I'm shrugging. I'm curious when I shrug, and I'm not trying to be dismissive. I want to know, what do you want him to say? What would you like to hear?
I want to hear what he's been up to, and, like, you know, how hard this, you know, did the doctor sit him down? Did Ryan Poles sit him down? Did he sit himself down? Did his family, does he have a wife? Does he have children? Are his parents, you know, like, take us through it. I'm curious because it's a big deal, and I'd like to know what this process has been like. And I think the longer we don't hear from him, the worse this really is.
Well, I mean, listen, it is a process that is ongoing, Dustin. So I think that's why you're not going to hear from him. And if you recall, the concussion was suffered against Carolina, so that's week 5. So the actual, he came into practice, so he has the injury in a Sunday, and on Monday is when he was really feeling some of the symptoms. So he's been through a couple of these before. So there is, when you are in concussion protocol, you are outside the team. They have a 5-step process that you have to be able to overcome in order to be cleared to come back onto the field. He is, by all accounts, still feeling some of these concussion symptoms. So now that's, what, 5 weeks later, and he's still feeling these symptoms, and he is unable to pass the 5-step program in order to be cleared to return to the field. So they gave him, you know, brain injuries, as David's saying here, you effectively have bruised your brain, and who knows how long it takes. And we know that he's gone through this before. That's another problem. So they're waiting for him to clear it. They wait, and now it's 5 weeks on. We're not going to be able to wait any longer. You put him on IR, and then you wait and see how it ends up. And I agree with you. I think there is value to compartmentalizing injuries, but I don't know about brain injuries. I really don't. But I think that when we were talking the last couple of days, we started asking the question, is he coming back or not? We talked about this yesterday. Could he be gone for the year?
Well,
this is, and the only defense of no, he's going to play was, well, they haven't put him on IR.
Right.
This is a bad moment.
It is a bad
guys.
Moment. Also, because if he doesn't return this year, you do have reason to wonder the entire offseason if he'll ever play again.
No question. No question about that. So it's a tricky one, Dustin. I understand you want to talk to him and hear from him, but if he's still undergoing concussion symptoms, that means he's still in the process.
And that's why I think that's part of what I said. I don't think we're going to see him again because he's not. And by him not talking, it says that he's not ready to talk even. It's bad. I thought it was bad from the jump street.
This is really bad.
And I feel bad for the guy.
I do too. And I think that, you know, the one thing you were holding out hope about with him was, well, they haven't put him on IR yet.
They're a different defense without him.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
Mark Grody, 825 with Mullion Hall. What did you think of Garrett Crochet winning the AL Comeback Player of the Year? Will this affect his trade value?
You know, that's great. I think it's great. I got a lot of time for him. You know, I was wrong. You know, when they named him the starter, I just thought they had no one else, and it was kind of a gimmick thing, and that he would be an opener, not a starter. But he had a hell of a year, and he did a great job. And, you know, he's a strong-arm guy. He's a lefty, power lefty, strikes people out. I think he's got a lot of value. I wish there was a scenario in which he was going to spend his career with the White Sox. I don't believe there is that scenario. And I think they are going to trade him. And by all accounts, they're already talking to teams and talking about names. And I think that this is just the situation they are in, where they are, you know, they are unable to afford a guy who will be having his best years before they're ready to compete. So it kind of underscores this idea that the White Sox, you know, you could sign him to a 3 or 4 year deal. Problem is, you're not going to be good enough for him in 3 or 4 years. So they're going to try to trade him and get the most out of that they can. They're looking for position players. They've got other pitching lined up. We'll see how it works out. But it is a statement on where this team is at that it does not impact anything that he was the comeback player of the year.
I mean, it's a sad state of affairs that doesn't help. I mean, it goes on his resume and, you know, his future Hall of Fame plaque. Okay, the back of the baseball card, if those even exist anymore, the backs of baseball cards. I know cards exist, but I don't know if the back of the baseball card is a thing. Again, if I were running things at 35th and Shields, I'd have all the conversations in the world about moving him. But based on this is another feather in his cap, mm-hmm. another resume builder. I would have him pitching for me at 35th and Shields this year. I would probably roll him out there like they did at the end of last season. He'd be on a pitch count, and he'd be healthy and strong and showing his strikeout. And then when that big team in the trade deadline needs an ace or wants a closer, and he's showing that he can do both those jobs, guess what kind of a haul you get then?
Maybe.
Roll the dice.
Yeah.
He could blow out his arm again, could. Blah, 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 blah.
Injury is always a problem.
I just don't think you're going to get potentially what you could get if you held on to him a little bit longer.
I like this because it officially documents and forever recognizes Garrett Crochet's, I think, emergence as an ace, as one of the best pitchers in the American League. Now you have evidence that you can remember, and it's an indelible stamp on his career. And on the White Sox, worst season ever. So this is good news for Garrett Crochet. Also, it comes on a day where he can look to the other guy in the other league who got the other award for and recognized for being the comeback player, Chris Sale, the National League Comeback Player of the Year. Well, Garrett Crochet, if you have struggles, if you have another injury, another setback, you can still be Chris Sale because you have that kind of stuff. You've had this kind of start, and now you have this kind of potential. The Sox are going to trade him. It's probably the best thing for the franchise, and we all should be sorry to see him go because this is a tremendous talent.
That's a great question.
All right, more questions. Lots of questions. How pumped are you for the Bulls' first game in the NBA Cup?
Yeah!
Cleveland against the unbeaten Cavs. Are you smelling an upset? Does it concern you the Bulls have yet to win a game in the NBA Cup after an 0-4 and a minus 48-point differential last season?
Well, I want to start with the positive. So I think I'm with Mully, and the Bulls can actually go into Cleveland and win this game because the Cavs are almost lately begging to be beaten. And this is a tough thing to maintain. They're 13-0, and I think this is an opportunity. As well as the Bulls are playing, trending in the right direction with everyone getting healthy, they can win this game, and I would not be surprised if they do tonight end the streak, and the Cavs are 13-1, and the Bulls are capping off a very good few days. Now, you know I think this NBA Cup is nonsense. This is a money grab of money grabs. This is something to combat load management. Adam Silver's great idea. All right, great. You're going to pay these guys $500,000 if they win. Who won last year? The Lakers. And they had confetti, and everyone made fun of them. All I care about, what color is the floor going to be? How gaudy will it be? I'm not going to – I mean, I will watch because it is the Bulls. But I don't know. 0-4 in the NBA Cup. Who comes up with this stuff? This is ridiculous that it's some sort of contrived tournament. This is Bulls, Cavs, and me, nothing else.
Can I get a copy, Brandon? Can you send me a copy of that song so that I can get everybody pumped up when I'm out watching TV? See, tonight's a very busy TV night for
yeah.
me.
Okay? Yeah.
We got the Dukes of York playing in the final eight of the state championship
wow.
football tonight.
What time's that?
It's a 7:30 kick, 7:15 nice. Kick. So I don't know if I will leave the Spring Inn and walk the 200 yards to Clarence D.E.'s Field in Elmhurst. Because I can watch it there.
Stumble.
Then I can also watch.
Stumble the 200 yards.
Well, you, no. It's spring in, stumble out. That's the slogan of the Spring In. You spring in and you stumble out. So you've got that. Then you've got Tyson and Jake Paul. I know it's okay. Not everybody's interested, but I'm interested in that. I just don't know if they've got enough TVs at the Spring In to support Bulls, Cavs, York Dukes football, and Tyson Paul. But I do agree with you, David, that this cup thing is so ridiculous. They just remember every Tuesday and Friday night for the next 5 weeks, and then like the Bulls were one of like four teams that didn't play this past Tuesday, right? So they don't even have the opportunity to be 0-5 in the cup yet because they didn't play in the first cup game. You know, they were one of literally I think four teams didn't play on Tuesday night. Everybody, the association played everybody except of course the Bulls. You know, win a game against the Cavs, that'd be great. You know, and then I heard Chuck, you know, talking about the matchup of Max LaVine. He, of course, didn't say Max LaVine. And the great player on the Cavs who scored 36. And, oh, what a matchup. He guy scored 36. How many has he scored tonight? 40? I mean, the Cavs are favored by 11.
Yeah,
that seems like a
70
ton.
On them.
Donovan Mitchell, hell of a
He's
player.
Really good, Donovan Mitchell. Yeah, He's a max player. There's a max player for you.
Okay, first of all, I love the NBA Cup, and I love getting enthusiastic about it just because David doesn't like the NBA Cup and thinks it's absurd. So that allows me to act as if it is the FA Cup and really hope for a trophy for the Bulls this year and just have some fun with it because I know that you turn and look at me like
I'm
insane.
Such a money grab.
I know what it is. But, you know, I think it's hilarious that if you're, say, I don't know, LeBron James, you may decide that I can't win anything this year, my team's awful, hey, let's win the NBA Cup. And then you've got like a little trophy that you won and you can hang your hat on being the first guy to win an NBA Cup. I would embrace this. If I were the Bulls, I would have fun with that. I think it's great. And the fact that they have been not only shut out in the NBA Cup, but beaten by 48 points in those combined four games, that is upsetting.
That takes some effort.
So the Bulls are playing well right now.
Wow.
It would be a stitch if they could figure out a way of actually doing two things, beating the Cleveland Cavaliers, getting that little mark that they were the first team this year to beat them. And you're right. They are so ripe for an upset. And then you throw in the fact that, oh, by the way, it's an NBA Cup game. And all the goofy floor and the unis are pretty cool. I'm all over this. I think it's going to be a really fun watch, and I'm looking forward to it. And I'm with you, Dustin. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that this all may work out for you because I think there's a bunch of fights on the undercard. There's more than two. No, yeah. There's
I saw they were talking about. I read about two. Yeah.
Yeah. No. There's two that are of interest. There's a women's fight and whatever the other one is. But this thing might not get going until about 11 o'clock at night.
Oh wow, Dustin will be
central time. Then I better be standing.
Dustin will he be still stumbling
he'll
springing
be,
or
yeah, he may be collapsed.
Well, that's what Uber's for, or my feet.
Yeah.
I can walk home from there. I've done it a couple times.
But you might, this all, you know, this
I
might.
I hope the Dukes are celebrating.
I'm saying get ready for a session, Dustino.
Could be a long night.
All right. We got the extra point next, and then guess what it's going to be? Oh, it's time to pick them. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Tonight we're going to take no prisoners.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Can you please give a brief scenario of how the Bears can win against the reviled Green Bay Packers on Sunday afternoon over at Soldier Field? And then please make an official selection with the score, please. Will there be a coach fired or a player cut after this one?
Well, I don't think that will happen this week, although stay tuned. This is the Bears. And this is shaping up to be one of those seasons, loud and not so proud. And Sunday, the Bears do have an avenue to success. They have a way that they could beat the Packers. You protect the football, you take a shot down the field, you isolate a mismatch and you exploit that, and DJ Moore is celebrating in the end zone, and you run the football, control the clock, and your defense creates a takeaway and forces Jordan Love to throw them the football. That's the way you want to win. And frankly, that's the way you can win. I just don't think they will. I think there's been a lot of conversation. This is shaping up to be one of those seasons where it is all talk and no action. It's a lot of talk. And the action has not been there to back it up. So I think the offense will function more efficiently. Caleb Williams will take a step forward. The running game might even be capable, but I just don't think that ultimately they're going to be able to convert in the red zone and be an offense that scores more than the Packers. And the Packers defense, hate to say this midway through this season, the Packers defense is going to be the best one on the field Sunday. And they're going to get a takeaway that matters, and they're going to win 27-23.
Oh, David. I hope you're not right, but you probably are, because I have said the Bears are not going to win another game this season. I'll get to the score in a minute. But the way the Bears can win this game, and the only way they can win this game, is by the defense having a pick six. Pick six. Only way the Bears can win this one. I've got the Packers winning 20-13 Sunday at Soldier Field.
Okay, so this is a tough one. I mean, this is not I really want to pick the Bears here because I really liked the point spread earlier in the week, and I really felt like this is one where they could maybe pull a surprise, you know, somehow get themselves together, somehow figure out a way to – but ultimately when I came down to sitting down and looking at the game – yeah, it's funny. So doing the pre and the post with Pat and Olin, you know, I always know that they're going to – like, Olin has never picked the Green Bay Packers. It's one of his things. He's never going to take the Packers. He's going to find a way for the Bears to win, or he's going to pick the Bears and take a loss for himself because he can't bring himself to do it. I think that's a great way to be. I can't operate that way, so I'm going 24-13 Green Bay Packers. I just don't see it. I just think the more you go through it, and they're coming off the bye, they're coming in here. How are the Bears going to score? What are they going to do that they haven't been able to do? Even if they protect the quarterback, I think you're right, Dustin. I think you would need a defensive touchdown, and you might need some weird special teams play.
Devin Hester will be honored on Sunday.
Exactly.
Maybe
he will be honored.
Go
yeah.
deep.
Yeah. But I think it is a real pity that we're sitting here thinking about the Packers winning the 11th straight game against the Bears.
11 straight games.
And I really can't in good conscience come up with a scenario in which the Bears win. You'd have to have like a really bad their running game is better and their defense is better.
It'd have to be fluky.
Right now, it would be fluky.
It would be fluky if the Bears win.
I wish they could do it, and I wish I could pick it, but I'm going with the Packers.
Wow.
And I hate doing that, but, you know, at some point.
There's not a lot of confidence in Chicago in the Bears right now.
You've been watching, right?
Yeah.
They're pretty much in a tailspin.
Well, watching and listening.
There you go.
Because teams that talk as much as the Bears have been talking, and as much as we love them talking because it is good for our conversations as well, be nice to see them back it up every once in a while.
That's it. That is the pick six. Now to your calls, 312-644-6767, Mullion Haw on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 the score.
I don't know.
Is it raised?
Do y'all think I tried something?
I don't know.
Exactly. Don't nobody know. Only people on the field know. So I'll leave it on the field.
Okay. What do you think of what Xavier McKinney said about this?
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, trash talk is trash talk. We'll just see on Sunday what it all plays out to be.
Do you think you hurt his feelings on Up and Adams?
No, I ain't think I hurt his feelings. I mean, what I say, that's nice.
Yeah.
I mean, he a good player. Played against X a few times, so I mean, looking forward to the battle.
Just more juice for the game.
I mean, if you wanted to be there, I mean, it's already there. So we'll see you on Sunday.
Mullion Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's DJ Moore. Yeah, he didn't seem to really buy into it. Doesn't seem to really care.
Didn't seem to really know that he had lit a match back in June.
No, don't
and
think
And pretty
he meant
innocent
to.
Comments. I don't think it's going to lead anything. Maybe during a running play, as Dustin pointed out, that DJ Moore will lock in and get the best of Xavier McKinney blocking for DeAndre Swift. I don't know. It's not much of anything.
I thought he said he was going to grab him by the face mask.
Yeah, he did.
Is that what he said?
Somebody's going to grab somebody by the face mask, which would be a penalty, which would be dumb.
Yeah.
Which would be losing that war of words.
Let's hope those idiots do it and not our idiots.
Yeah.
Let's get to the phone lines. 312-644-6767. Let's try John, our buddy John's in Joliet. Hi, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's a beautiful Friday. You know, I am going to claim the title of a Chicago Bears meathead fan. That's what I am. The theme song for my Chicago Bears is A Thin Line Between Love and Hate. I hate them on Monday. I love them on Sunday. And that's what it is. As I walk into that stadium Sunday, I am going to be highly motivated, truly dedicated, and optimistic that the Bears are going to win last second field goal 2017. And we will hear the words and to the song of hallelujah. You have to stay positive. You have to stay motivated. And God forbid it doesn't happen, you know, I'll be talking to you Sunday. Just another meathead, disappointed Bears fan. But I love my Chicago Bears. Bear down. Have a great day, everybody. And let's go Bears.
Thanks, John.
Love it, John.
John does a good job of controlling his attitude and his effort.
Yes, he does.
And we do have a lot of callers this week singing.
Yeah, we have had a lot of singing. You've been singing, even.
There's a song in my heart.
There is.
I wasn't singing.
You always like.
Was I singing?
You'd be a big part of the score of the musical.
I think those.
Our crappy team, why should we care?
Good old Jeff.
Jeff did his Sinatra for you.
He did. Well, I think he feels empowered. He feels free. We like to bring that out in people.
I like that people feel comfortable coming on and singing a song.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Yeah.
I think we let him go on a little bit long yesterday.
Well, yeah.
We might have.
There is that.
Do you agree?
It was like, I got a soft spot for Jeff.
I'm like waiting for the curtain to close.
Yeah. All right.
Encore.
I got a soft spot for Brad Biggs, too.
Oh, yeah. Always Biggsy. He's not going to sing, is he?
Chicago Tribune. I wouldn't put it past him.
Okay.
I've never heard him do karaoke.
No.
Yeah, whatever.
But I've heard you do it.
Yeah, thank you.
We got Biggsy. He's next. Mullion Haw on the score.
Today I hear the robins sing.